You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario since 1922. Find and follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up on this special community takeover of our airwaves, we're talking to Tom Stewart, board chair and founder of Homegrown Live, and Denis Leroux, president of the Joe's Music Mill Board of Directors. Homegrown Live Music Productions was founded in 2008 with a mission to facilitate community understanding and appreciation of live music, produce music festivals, showcases, and workshops, and promote the community development of music and musicians. That same year, they launched the inaugural Homegrown Live Music Festival as a celebration of live music in Kingston and as a fundraiser for the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, Joe's Mill. Incorporated as a nonprofit in 2013, Homegrown Live Music Productions has organized 17 festivals and over 1,400 performances, raising more than $140,000 in support of Joe's Music Mill, as well as food donations in support of the Partners in Mission Food Bank. Joe's Music Mill is here to help everyone unlock the potential and benefits that music can bring to their lives and to their community by putting the ability to play music directly into their hands. They offer a diverse library of quality music instruments that span across all musical styles and tastes. They bring music, education, and mentorship through partnerships with schools and community programs, and strive to build effective, sustainable, and lasting bridges to all communities that can benefit from Joe's Music Mill. Welcome, Tom and Denis.
Thanks, Sarah, for having us.
Thanks, Sarah.
I wonder if you could just introduce yourselves for listeners, let us know what your role is with your respective organizations, and maybe a little bit about how you got involved with them.
Yeah, sure. As you said in your introduction, I'm one of the founders of Homegrown. It's really Roger Eccleston and I that kind of drove it forward initially, and it's evolved quite a bit over the years. We have a four-person board, and really the main function there is we have a coordinator, which I would say does the bulk of the work, really, and that's Chris Morris. And then the other board members, Joel Yearsley and Moira Demarest.
And did you want to talk about, so you've rebranded slightly.
Correct.
It is Joe's Music Mill.
That's correct.
And what is Joe's Music Mill?
First of all, I'm the president of the board of directors of Joe's Music Mill, volunteer position. Joe's Music Mill is the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Library, named after Joe Chitlin, who was a musician in Kingston, unfortunately died of anaphylactic shock while he was touring in Amsterdam. A bunch of people got together and decided what could we do in his memory. And Joe's mantra was always, wouldn't it be great if everybody had the opportunity to play a musical instrument? So a group of people, like I said, got together and started this musical instrument library, which is a musical instrument library. It's just like a library for books. You just go in, get a library card for $25 a year, and you can borrow an instrument for a month. If you like it, you can continue to borrow it. We've got over 1,600 instruments. Half of them are out in the community, thank God, because we wouldn't have the space to be able to keep them. And it just gives everybody from kids to seniors, youth, we have a lot of university students, to come in, take a look at instruments, and decide whether or not they like it before actually going out and buying one. So we're the benefactors of Homegrown. Homegrown has been wonderful for us. We get between $10,000 and $20,000 every year based on how many people attend, and it's been wonderful for us.
I mean, music is such a universally loved art form, but it's not necessarily cheap. Once you get into instruments of any kind, the expense goes up, the investment goes up, and also the intimidation factor. And so Joe's does this beautiful thing of giving you the opportunity to explore and not feel like, well, you know, I tried this instrument and it wasn't for me and I've wasted all this money and I can't go on and do something else.
That's correct. So we often see people coming in to test out instruments and then they'll realize, so I'll use the guitar as an example. Oh, I think I can actually play the guitar. So what do they end up doing? They'll go out and go to Long & McQuaid or whatever and actually buy a guitar. On the other hand, we also have a lot of students in high school who can't afford to buy band instruments because they're really expensive. Buying a trumpet or buying a saxophone is really expensive. So what we do is we have about 150 instruments that we loan out to those people. They bring them back every year, but we need a lot more. We figure that we need about $90,000 worth of instruments to be able to distribute them to everybody who would want them. And we're looking for granting opportunities for us to be able to get those.
So going back to one of the opportunities that you've mentioned for raising funds, it is Homegrown. And Tom, when the initial idea for Homegrown came about, was Joe's in mind? Like, what was the motivation behind creating this festival?
Yeah, absolutely. We knew at the time Joe's Music Mill was just getting going. And, you know, they had funding issues. They were, you know, they started out pretty small in a little basement and girls and boys club, I think it was, and volunteers and whatever instruments they could scramble together. But it was pretty clear that there was a demand there, that, you know, they wanted to get more professional, but they needed resources. And they had no funding. So we went out with the explicit intention to raise money for Joe's Mill at the time, now Joe's Music Mill. And so that was the original intention. The other intention we had is we didn't want to take any risk. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it was a festival kind of idea, but we didn't want to be putting up a lot of cash and, you know, then taking that risk on and, you know, trying to make a profit. So we said we had to have a way to just do it without taking on any risk or minimal risk. And so this was our concept. And I've said this before, but we modeled it after the Music Lovers Weekend, which was Matt. He ran this as a fundraiser. I think it was for United Way originally. And it was the same sort of concept, put bands in different venues and sort of a one ticket kind of idea. And you could go around the different venues. And yeah, so we talked to Matt and, you know, got his feedback and launched our first Homegrown. And I remember, story I like to tell is we say, okay, we're going to have zero budget. But wait a minute, we need to get a website. Uh-oh, what are we going to do? So at the time, the website was about $40. So sticking to our plans, we said, okay, well, we're not going to put up $40. We got to raise $40. So Roger Eccleston and I went out in front of the toucan, and, you know, we made up a little sign, which says, you know, we're raising funds for a website for this festival that we're going to put on. We bust out in front of the toucan, quickly made our $40, and, you know, and we might have a little bit left over to go in and have a beer, and or we might have put that aside as our capital, big capital float. And we got our website, and we went from there, and we stumbled around, didn't really know what we were doing, you know, started pretty small, and, you know, we didn't even have insurance. I look back now, and I'm terrified of that. But, you know, it was just, we just pretended just doing this little get together with some people. And I think we ran that for 1 or 2 years. It was 2009. Over the years, you and I were talking a little bit about this era. We learn as we go, and we kind of kept track of what works and doesn't work. And yeah, we were never really as much interested in growing it other than kind of smoothing it out and rooting it and not burning people out and making it sustainable and making it professional. So my role is, you know, administrative, I would say, right now. And, you know, but we all brainstorm. There's, believe it or not, even though we think we have it fairly smooth, every year there's something comes up and there's always some dynamics. We're doing a community event with a lot of people, and so there's personalities, there's changes in venues. There's an incredible number of little issues that pop up despite, you know, your best efforts. So yeah, we deliver this great little festival once a year on one day. And then the Downtown Business Association, Kingston DBIA, they approached us and said, we'd like to partner with you on this. And I remember the conversation. I says, yeah, that'd be great, but we're in charge. They continue to be our partners today, and they're great partners, but we wanted to have the sort of creative control. We wanted to have direct connection with the community. We didn't want to lose that. We wanted to be homegrown, homey, close to the street. So we approached that partnership basically saying, well, it's our festival, but we appreciate having your help and support and partnership. And they're great partners. They help us a lot with the media. They help us with the volunteers. They provide some funding, you know, besides money in kind through the media and stuff they do. They actually give us money for printing up posters and things like that. And they handle a lot of that. We've smoothed that over. So there's a big contribution from them. And yeah, and they see the benefit, right? The tourism benefit, business benefit. You know, we're training audiences to pay a cover charge. We're training bars and venues. Hey, if you have music, you get a few more people in. We're introducing new musicians to new audiences and audiences to musicians. You know, so, you know, I often like to say that, you know, the sort of basic formula is, you know, we need a willing venue. We need a willing coordinator, somebody who would be willing to put a show on at that venue, and then we'll support that through making sure they got good production, making sure they got media, making sure we help them curate the application process. And yeah, that's sort of the basic formula. It's very scalable as well. So we used to say if we get three venues, we got a festival. I think we've had as few as I was thinking about this, maybe 6 or 7 at one point, at a low point. But typically we have 15 now, and I think this year we have 17. And venues are always a challenge. We're losing venues all over the place, but we're pretty imaginative, and people are pretty imaginative. And some of these are smaller venues, and new businesses will take a chance. And like Something in the Water, you don't really think of that too much as a music venue, at least when they first landed. But, you know, they did a homegrown. They're regularly putting music on. We get a few churches, like Next Church. They're used to putting on events. They do the classical. We've got Upstairs of the Spire. And then, of course, the restaurants downtown. And, you know, again, some of them do music regularly. Some of them, this is kind of a little bit special for them. So, yeah.
When I think of Kingston, one of the reasons that I love Kingston and I stayed here was because of the strength of the arts community. And I think we are spoiled in a lot of ways in terms of the number of artists we have in different genres, and musicians certainly are one of those. And I think sometimes we get so spoiled that we don't realize that people deserve to be paid and that this is entertainment and that people give a lot when they go out and perform. So I think it's a really lovely festival to really celebrate. I mean, these artists are giving their time for free for this. Just how generous and how talented this community is. And I mean, you talk about 17 venues or 15 venues, and how many different bands does that represent in a single festival?
Yeah, this year it's 141, you know, and that's usually about the number. And then you sort of, you can multiply that roughly, let's say, by three. I mean, there's individual acts, there's 5 pieces, 3 pieces, but you multiply it by three. So 300-400 musicians in various levels of their music development, put it that way, all on one day getting together and sharing their music. And I was just talking to somebody about this just a couple of days ago, and we were talking about how it closes a circle, bringing it back to the mill. I think part of the reason we get the participation is because it's, you know, a lot of the people playing there were supported by the music mill, in whether it was checking out an instrument, and they really liked the cause because it's their major passion. And to have an opportunity to give back to that and refeed that sort of flame, you know, and put some logs on the fire. It's very, it's sort of fulfilling for them. And again, it sort of closes a circle and keeps the circle going. And it's very unique. It's very unique. And I'm not sure you could export this idea and just put it in any town. We have the relationship with the music mill. We have, as you say, the very rich sort of cultural tradition across more than just music, and a sense of community. We're small enough that, you know, people can get behind certain issues and feel that it's personal and it's part of their community. They can be part of the community. So it's a pretty unique thing.
It's a nice time of year for the festival as well, because it is, and it's happening at a very community time of year. A lot of the students may have left by now, if they're still around and they're enjoying the summer, which I recommend. Kingston's beautiful in the summer, but it is a different demographic. You don't have the tourists coming in yet. You know, it's a very community festival. When do you ever get the opportunity to see all of your favorite local bands in one night?
Yeah.
Right?
And that was partly intentional, like when we were looking around, and, you know, partly practical, because there's so many other things going on. And we didn't want to really compete with stuff. But it turns out, as you said, it creates an intimacy in the sense that, yeah, the tourists aren't necessarily here. The students, although they're part of our community, they represent a different kind of energy, if you will. And it's a nice time of year for this. And it's sort of opening up the summer, opening up the spring. And maybe people have a little bit more time to participate, and they're not distracted. And so it is. It's a very much a community event.
Mm-hmm. I suppose we should say the date of the event.
What's that?
I suppose we should say the date of the event.
Yeah, when is it? Yeah, we've grabbed the first Saturday of May. So if you're ever wondering when Homegrown is, it's the first Saturday of May, which falls on May 2nd this year. I think last year was May 6th or May 7th. It might have been May 7th. So it's going to vary a little bit. But it's the first Saturday in May, which is May 2nd this year. Starts probably at 11 a.m. and it'll go till 3 a.m. probably. It has its cycles and ups and downs. And
after party locations.
After party. There's no intentional after party. Yeah. You know, Toucan's a late bar.
I feel like the Toucan seems to be a default for most events in Kingston. That tends to be the funnel that
it is. Yeah.
Draws people in.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the venues. I mean, obviously pretty fresh news is the closing of the Mansion.
Yes.
Losing a venue like that, how does that impact? Were bands planned to be in there? Did it leave you scrambling?
Yes and yes. You know, the Mansion was there from day one. day one. And, you know, Casey and his team there, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to say we wouldn't have been able to pull off Homegrown if we didn't have the mansion. Like, really, in the early days, we needed that support. We needed somebody like Casey who'd say, whatever you need, we'll make it happen, right? And, yeah, we were devastated by the loss of the mansion. But at the same time, you know, it's a time to reflect a little bit on how much we appreciated having them. But, yeah, what are we going to do? And so we had to, I think we've had as many as three venues going on there. We had the downstairs, and the upstairs was normally, but I think there was one year we actually used the middle, like the restaurant area as well. But we usually could count on the downstairs and the upstairs, and the upstairs would vary. We were talking earlier about we had the next generation. We were usually able to put a next generation, like youth sort of bands, on the main stage in the mansion during the day. And that's a real stage in a real music venue. And the kids that were in there, they were so excited to be on a real stage and real sound. And it has that atmosphere, right, of a major music venue, which it was. And then we usually had psychedelic snack in there. Now, don't ask me what that actually means, but it wasn't just psychedelic music, but it was just a show, a way to promote a show. But there would be a few interesting bands in there, like Strange Happenings and Ian Spotting was, I don't know if they're still around, but they were a pretty popular band. Yeah, and downstairs sort of evolved into the punk rock metal. Loud, great bands, great fans. People just packed the little downstairs there, and it was one time it was called Downtown Punk or something. It's for downstairs punk, but it had that basement feel for a basement kind of genre, and that was one we were really worried about when we lost that space because it was perfect for them. And they've moved to the Grad Club. The Grad Club stepped up this year. You know, they've been on and off because they're a little bit out of the downtown area. It's not something they normally do, but they put their hand up. So we'll be having the, it's sort of a heavier rock punk kind of show. The schedules are all at homegrownlive.ca. You can look up the bands, but it's always a great show. And it's one venue I often check out just to see what's going on. Again, it's not something I'm going to show up to on a regular basis, but it's nice to see that we have these different communities. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a hip-hop community, we have a punk community, we have a jazz community, we have a blues community, we have a folk community, you know, we have a classical community, you know, and that's it. You know, if you don't have these communities and cultures, if you want to go that far, then we don't have the diversity of the festival. But again, it's all one supporting the other. Why do we have this cultural diversity? What begets what, right? Mm-hmm. And you just got to keep fanning the flames, feeding the fire. And that's what we do. And we do it not just with the festival, but with things like the mill and how we treat each other. You know, the jams around town, the little projects that are going on, and yeah, just look around. There's lots of little fires, right?
I think in the same way that the music mill gives people the opportunity to explore and reduce that intimidation factor, something like Homegrown does as well. Like if you're not part of a specific scene, or if there's a genre that you're curious about or not terribly familiar with, it's a really great opportunity. It's one price, one bracelet gets you in everywhere, so you can pop in and out of venues. Mm-hmm. However you wish, and really explore what Kingston has to offer. Denis, I wonder if we could talk a little bit about what are your aspirations for the Music Mill? You mentioned you would like to raise $90,000 to get music for high school students. Are there other goals that you have currently, or do you have earmarked plans for what Homegrown Live is going to provide you with this year?
Thanks for asking that question. Joe's Music Mill is known around town as a musical instrument library, but we do a lot more than that. So a couple of years ago, we reviewed our mandate and took a look to, well, first of all, let me talk about financial stability, because Tom alluded to the fact that at one point we were not in dire straits, but we were having a hard time just raising money. We're now very financially stable because of programs and events like Homegrown, donations, the $25 registration fee. You know, when you have 500 kids coming in and giving us registration fees, that helps a lot. So, and it was financially stable. So we took a look at our mandate and realized that our mandate, which was developed 25 years ago, focused on not just musical instruments, but other things like musical education. So we're now focusing on musical education. What does that comprise of? Well, first of all, we've decided to do music workshops for children. So we're now in a lot of schools in the Kingston community and an area providing 2 to 4 day workshops for kids. They love it. What we do is we'll go in for an hour, bring in some instruments, give them the opportunity to learn about what we do, to learn a bit about music, and to actually touch and feel the instruments. A lot of these kids have never touched anything, or you bring a fiddle or a banjo that they've never had the opportunity to touch. Well, there's your opportunity. What does that do? It gives them the feel for the instrument and the desire to play. I'll give you an example. I actually went to Ottawa last year because my daughter's a teacher, and I offered her to do the workshop on her behalf, and she said, sure. So we went over. Lo and behold, the next day, she tells me that one of her students who had tried the fiddle wanted to take violin lessons. So her parents approached her and asked her, how do we go about that? So that's the kind of thing that we're looking to do. I talked about band instruments. We're also partners with Sistema Kingston, which is based on the Sistema mission that is worldwide. And it's all about providing the opportunity for underserved kids to play instruments and to enrich themselves through music. So we're doing a lot of that. And all of that costs money, but like I said, we're financially stable. We have homegrown. We're now part of Seat Gaming, which is basically getting funds from volunteering at the lottery places here. We've got a lot of things in the fire, so we're really looking forward to what the next 5 to 10 years are going to be like.
Year-round programming with your organization, massive cross-Kingston event with Homegrown. I'm imagining that volunteers are a welcome resource. If someone's listening and they want to get involved and they want to help out.
Yeah, there's quite a few volunteers. Now, first, we've got to recognize that we've got 300 musicians that are volunteering their time. that's a big one. But we need people at the doors selling bracelets. And the downtown Kingston, the DBIA, one of their contributions, because they have the experience of running different events around town, is that they manage those volunteers. Now, there's a few venues outside of their jurisdiction, if you will, and you know, it's usually a small number. We usually handle that. I usually put my hand up and recruit 5 or 6 people to help with that. But if people are interested in that, I think they should get a hold of the DBIA. If they can't figure out how to do that, you can always go onto our website. There's an info page, and you can just put your name in. Somebody will get back to you. We'll forward that to you. So if you want to spend a few hours at a door selling bracelets and you often listening to music, get a hold of us or get a hold of the DBIA and just put your hand up that you're interested in volunteering.
And for musicians, obviously applications are closed.
Yes.
When do they generally open if people want to get involved next year?
I think it's end of February.
Okay.
Yeah, we give people a month or a little bit more. And you know, people say it's a free festival. Like, you're not paying. Why would you need applications? But we learned over the years that it really helps us. It helps us sort out who's who. We get them to put in their bio so we don't have to go chasing bios. We get them to put in their links so that when we come to the promotion, we can put their bio and their links right on our web pages. We just turn it right over. It's a good chance to get at least initial input list on what they're going to need in terms of instrumentation and sound. And it's rare. There has been years where we've just had too many applications from people and we've had to say no. And we really don't like saying no. And I don't think we rarely say no now, and it's usually not a problem. If you put in your application and you know, you've dotted all the I's and provided all the information, and most people that are applying, it's not their first rodeo. So it's just a matter to the venue coordinators to sort of put a show together and figure out how they're gonna put it all together. And we're still getting inquiries.
Yes. And, you know, I saw a post from Chris.
I know.
So did I.
But that's cool because people are really interested. We do get a lot of applications for people. If you have friends that are musicians or you're a musician yourself and you're trying to promote yourself, you just get a list of festivals and you send out your package, right? So we get some of that and we say, well, no, this is a community festival. And, you know, we used to say, well, what does that mean? And I think we took a page out of a Skeleton Park Arts Fest in their early days. They wanted to be kind of a local festival. And they come up with the idea, well, tell us your Kingston connection. And Isla Van comes to mind. I don't know if you know Isla Van.
Yeah.
You don't see her much anymore. But she played a Homegrown 1 year. And Isla Van, we own Isla Van. I think she's from Toronto or Ottawa, but she would come here all the time and sing for us, sing for the community. She was part of the community. She had friends here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy for her to be part of Homegrown, because what's your Kingston connection? Well, I live here sometime, have all my fans here. I love this place, right? Okay.
Yeah. I honestly didn't know she wasn't from Kingston.
Yeah, just tell us your connection. Why Kingston? Well, I think it's a cool place. Well, we know that, but something a little bit... Something a little bit more than that, right?
Well, even if it is your first rodeo, learning to fill out an application properly and what kind of things you need to consider if you're going to be on stage and performing somewhere, not bad skills to have.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Absolutely. You'd be surprised. We used to edit the bios because we put out a little longer program, but I'm going to give this one to Chris. You know, it's just one more thing to do. So we said, if you can't write a bio, guess what? You're not going to have a bio. If you can't put three words together that are in a proper grammatical order, that's what's going into the program. Maybe that's what you want to promote, but it's your show, your bio. Make sure it's right. Same with links. If you don't have any links, well, okay, then that's just where you're at. But if you've done your marketing and you've got some good links, they're going to go on our promo material.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, you get as much out of it as you put into
exactly.
it in that situation.
Yeah.
And what about volunteering on the Joe's Music Mill side?
We have a slate of volunteers. We have both employees and volunteers. If you want a volunteer, just come onto our website. There's a form that you can fill out, and we're always looking for volunteers, both for working at the mill or on our board of directors.
You mentioned buying bracelets. They're $10. These are available cash only at the door, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So people, I know we're getting out of the cash age. Make sure you've gone to an ATM and have your $10. And you know what? Hey, if you have a 20 and you want to donate the other 10, I'm sure Homegrown would be happy to take it.
Yeah, I want to speak to that, because it's always interesting with the $10. And we've over the years, we said, wow, geez, everything else is going up. We've been charging $10 for 17 years now. And, you know, $10 isn't the same it was 17 years ago. It should be $20 at least. But I think two things. We want to make it really easy for people to participate, right? And yes, you can donate more. It's a fundraiser. Right? So if you think what this is really cool and you think, geez, we should be paying $20, we should be paying $30, or I really like the mill, we'll give them $100, do it. This is the time to do it. And we keep track of that. It is a fundraiser. And I remember standing at doors at the Toucan where people were complaining about a $10 charge, and there was three bands still yet to go on that evening. Any one of them was worth a $25 ticket. Somebody's at the door and they haven't got $10 for go to a good cause and see three good bands. I don't know what to say.
With a tip, that's probably the price of a pint, honestly.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, you're buying the band a pint. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you can do that too.
Yes, I'm sure, you know, it's thirsty work. I'm sure refreshments are welcome.
Yeah.
If folks can't go, but they do want to support Joe's Music Mill, can they go to your website? Is there a link for charitable?
There's a donation button on our website, or you can just come in to the mill and donate. Okay. We'll gladly take anything.
And you're at the Tet Center?
We're at the Tet Center. And speaking of donations, we don't just accept monetary donations. We'd love to get your instruments. That's how we survive. We don't buy instruments unless we have to, unless they're for band instruments for schools. So anybody that has any old guitar or anything will take it. Like I said, we've got 1,600 instruments ranging from a ukulele to a sitar. So we'll accept pretty well anything. So come on in and see us. We'll be glad to see you. Our website is joesmill.org.
And for Homegrown?
Yeah, the easiest way is homegrownlive.ca.
Okay.
And everything is there. And I don't know where this should fit in, but I really want to make sure we mention our sponsors. We mentioned the Downtown Kingston, the DBIA. This year, we've got a unique sponsor, Amherst Island Radio, in a kind of a tri-partnership with you guys. We're recognizing them as a major sponsor this year. Of course, we've got Soundworks, who's been there. We've got some places like Ironclad Printing, which makes up our little buttons. So if you're a musician, you get a little button with the year on it, and, you know, they're going to be collectibles over the years. You got to earn that. You've got to, you know. And you know, we've got some real estate, Mark Sinnett, Finnegan Financial, different groups stepping up. Of course, Long & McQuaid helps us a little bit. The Kingstonists, McKinnon Breweries are providing the board of directors with beer. No.
I'm guessing the budget's a little more than $40 now for putting on the production.
Yes. 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 For sure. Our main cost right now is insurance, and it's an amazing, I can tell you the number, it's like $2,400 we have to pay for insurance for a one-day event. And I wish we could get that lower, when we've tried, but it's just the cost of doing business these days. And I think we worked with some of your people just to try and, like, whoever we could talk to. But it's a going rate, and we just tell them what we're doing, because it's a little odd for insurance company, because we're not serving alcohol. The venues are. You know, we don't really have a stage. The venue does, you know, and this kind of thing. We just tell them what we're doing. And we've had the same company for several years now, and they hasn't been going up. That's the good thing. And we also protect our board, so we buy director's insurance, because everybody's volunteering, and, you know, we just want to protect everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's just the cost of doing business these days, and I see other little festivals not surviving because they just can't afford the insurance. So I guess think of that when you're supporting little events. If you want them in the community, they do have a little overhead no matter what they do. So they need your support to get over that hump.
And that goes for organizations like ours. Our insurance is $10,000 because of liability, because of the instruments that we have.
Yeah.
So our donations are mostly to pay our employees to actually keep the library running, but for stuff like insurance and rent, etc. So keep that in mind whenever you're donating, that in order for us to be able to survive, we need funds to be able to pay for that also.
And administrative costs are never glamorous,
right,
but they are essential.
That's right.
Yeah. And I know we're losing festivals because of that. Yeah. Right? They just can't afford it. So it's magical that these events happen, and they really need support at all levels, right? Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I've played at Homegrown, and over the last few years as president, what I do is I'll just go visit as many sites as I can, get up and just speak for a minute of thanking everybody for what they're doing, and to talk a little bit about Joe's Mill. And the vibe is just superb. It's just, you feel the excitement in the air from the kids, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. who are there for the first time last year at the Buckle downstairs.
Right.
Kids just all excited to be able to play mm-hmm. in front of their peers, in front of their parents, to upstairs where, you know, you've got the regulars who are playing their music, going to the RCHA, where last year I had a hard time getting in because the place is packed for blues. So just go. The vibe is fantastic.
I think if there's one constant, it's beaming faces that I associate with Homegrown. This has been amazing. I feel like we could probably do another 30 minutes of conversation, but I want to thank you both for joining us. And is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap up?
From Joe's Music Mill's perspective, a big thank you to Homegrown. They've been doing this for, I'm not sure how many years, but they're one of the main reasons why we were able to survive at the outset. And with their support, we look forward to Homegrown every year because we know that it's a big fundraiser. And it's all about community. Mm-hmm. Joe's Music Mill is all about community enrichment through music, and talk about Homegrown being part of that. So big thank you to Tom and his board of directors and all of the volunteers.
Yeah, and I just iterate that word community. It's more than just a fundraiser. It is a fundraiser, but it's really a celebration of what we have here in Kingston. And so I urge you to come on out and check it out.
All right. So that is Saturday, May 2nd. From late morning till
early morning.
Late morning till early morning, yeah. No excuses. If you're an early bird or a late riser, there's something for you. All different kinds of genres, literally hundreds of artists, and just a fantastic cause. So thank you both again.
Thanks, Eric.
And once again, you can find out more about Joe's Music Mill at joesmill.org and on social media at joes_mill, and about Homegrown Live at homegrownlive.ca and on social media at homegrownliveygk. Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves yourself. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. Apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This project is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.